Okay, so we last week we took a little detour to discuss a little idea about our current situation, but I want to go back to our regularly scheduled topic, which is the Kuntros HaChesed. This we began several months back. We took a little break for Purim and Pesach, and now I think it's time to continue. We're still in Michta Eliyahu, and we are on. I sent down an email just a few minutes ago with copies of the source for those who received it. If you want to see the Hebrew inside, it's on page 46. If not, then you can just listen, and I'll read and translate as usual, and you will have the. You'll have what you need. So, just to, I guess, to recap, Kuntros HaChesed. Until this point, we've discussed the idea of Chesed, meaning that all of us deep down are either takers or givers, and ultimately. Rav Dessler says being a giver is the essence of good. Everything good in life comes out of being a giver, and everything bad in life comes out of being a taker. We spent several chapters discussing the idea of taking versus giving and how that plays out in life. So he continues here, we're in chapter 10 of Kuntros HaChesed, and we're starting on the, actually chapter 11, I'm sorry, chapter 11. And for those who have the copy, you're looking at the bottom of page 46. He said, it's called a karas hatov, idea of gratitude. And we want to see how gratitude plays into the idea of being a giver. So he says like this, Mahena hakaras hatov ha'oda. How do we understand the ideas of gratitude and thanks? How do we understand those ideas? Ayehu mekoram benefesh. What are the deep sources in the soul of the person, meaning the inner workings in ourselves that cause us to have gratitude or be ungrateful? And when somebody is ungrateful, where does that come from? Because many of us, at times, we don't recognize the good done to us. We are oftentimes ingrates, as we would call them. We're ungrateful for what happens. And the question is, what's going on inside the person that actually drives us to being either grateful or ungrateful? Where does that come from? So through that, you can see deep down, again, if you are really a giver or a taker. And he explains the following point. Hanosin yargish bavavo asher lo yachpot simat noschinam. If you're a giver, so that means you don't want any free gifts. You don't want people doing things for you. You want to be able to do for others, but you're not comfortable if people do things for you. You don't want to take, you want to give. Kishifasu yirak litein, because your inner drive is to give to others, not be a taker. Limshochi loves advarim shem chutz imenu, and you don't want to take things in from around you into yourself. You don't want to take. So if something does come to you from a friend, someone gives to you, so you want to be able to pay back the person for what they did for you. Meaning everybody is going to receive in life. Now we are creatures of society, we need others, we take from others, and then that's just the reality of who we are. So even those who are really givers and they only want to give, they'll have to receive sometimes. You always be on the receiving end of something in life. So what's the reaction? What's your response to that? So if you're a taker, you say, yes, I got something done for me. For free goods, and that's how you feel. If you're a giver, you say, well, how can I repay the person? I feel so bad that he or she came and did this for me, gave this to me, helped me out in this way. I wish I could repay the person for their service. What do I do? And if you're unable to pay them for it, your heart feels the necessity, the obligation to repay in some way. We call this gratitude. So that's what's saying, a very important and deep point. Gratitude is not just, okay, I say thank you. It's just proper derech eretz. It's just trying to, it's good manners. Gratitude, when it's sincere and real, it's like you're paying the person back for what they did. I mean, I'm not going to pay you in money. I can't repay you for the services. But I'll show you hodah. I will show you my gratitude. And that will be in place of payment. So it's coming from the urge in a person to want to repay some of the deed that was done. It's a very fascinating thing. So if we were to think about it, so true gratitude is coming as if monetary payment. You did something for me. I want to give back to you, so gratitude is giving. And we feel that when we're the givers and somebody is ungrateful, we feel not just that, we're happy we gave to them, hopefully, we don't want to regret the good deed, But we feel very bad that something is very lacking here. You feel very, you know, something is off. When someone gives you sincere gratitude, it makes you feel so good. I mean, you're not giving, hopefully, so they show you gratitude. But when they actually come to you and give you a sincere thank you, it makes you feel so good about what you did. You feel like you got, it's better than money sometimes, that thank you. That does something for you, which often is better than the money would have done. So that's the idea of gratitude. So gratitude used in the right way is because I feel a need to repay you for what you did. I'm not going to give you money or time or services right now, but I will show you hodah, I'll give you gratitude, and that will serve in place of that desire to repay. Now let's look at the other perspective. Aval notel, if you're a taker, if your deep urge within yourself is to be a taker, that selfish urge, yishov tadir limshoch elav es kol asher yuchal, you want to take in everything you possibly can. Anything you can take from others, you will take. Hey begzela, whether it be in dishonest ways like theft, hey betarmis, whether it be through deception, hey matara, whether it's that you want to receive lots of free gifts. With the care of libo yachshav kekol shlohu, it's because your feeling is everything is mine, 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 mine. I want everything around me. With vishvilo, it's all for me. Al kein bagio davar tov, asher heiti v'mul chavero. So when something comes to you that your friend did for you, liyargish b'chiv tashlum and klal, you don't feel you need to pay back. Meaning, in other words, you think I deserve it all. It's all for me anyways. Everything's coming to me. Everything's owed to me. So why am I telling you thank you? This is rightfully mine. This belongs to me. This is what should be. And if that's the feeling, liyargish b'chiv tashlum and klal, you don't feel any need to pay back. You don't feel any need for gratitude. So that person is referred to as kafui tov, someone who's ungrateful. And even if the taker does say thank you and shows gratitude, and sometimes the taker may even give you a very elaborate thank you. Now they may say thank you in a way that looks very real and sincere. You should not believe in this gratitude. Why? It's false. It's flattery. It's superficial. He doesn't really mean it. He's just trying to, you know, please you so you do more for him in the future. I mean, as we said before, you can give in order to take. You can take in order to give. If I'm showing you gratitude, but it's because I really like the fact that you gave me this item, you helped me out, and I want you to do it again in the future. So is that gratitude a taking or a giving? It's really taking, because I'm showing you gratitude because I want something more from you in the future as time goes on. If my gratitude is a sense of I owe you for this one and I feel terrible, you have to do something for me, then that gratitude actually becomes a form of, it's part of my being a giver. It's a form of giving. So if somebody is deep down a taker, the gratitude the person shows is not really gratitude. It's just another means in which they could take in the future. Yislabish b'ksus makir atov, he's just dressing up as if he's grateful. V'nimsa shigam hoda aso natilhi, but turns out that the gratitude at the end is just taking. Kikachi kavanasa, because that is the intent of the gratitude. It's so that in the future, I can take more from you. I want to maybe build on this point for a second. I think it's an important point. A person in this world, Chazal teach us that Hashem places in this world in order so we show gratitude towards Him. Meaning, one of the most basic goals of a human being is that we should learn how to show gratitude towards God. But that, so why is that so central to being a Jew? You know, I've mentioned before the word Jew comes from Yehudi. The Yehudi is from the name Yehuda, and the word Yehuda comes from the word gratitude. Hapam odes Hashem. Leah said, at this point, I will give thanks to Hashem for my child. So the word Jew really means a thanker, one who shows gratitude. That's who we are. The first words in the morning a Jew is supposed to say is Moda Ani. I thank you, Hashem. Hashem, I'm showing you gratitude. So Jewish life is really built up on gratitude. Brachos are about thanking Hashem for the food that we have and the pleasures of this world. Davening is being able to thank Hashem and recognize that everything we have comes from Him. Our life is really built on gratitude as Jews. So what is the true gratitude? It's because we recognize that not everything we have is due to us. Hashem grants us what we have. Hashem gives us what we deserve. But it's not because He owes it to us. It's not because it's due to us. It's because Hashem grants it to us in His chesed, in His kindness. If my attitude is, I deserve everything I have, then my gratitude towards Hashem is not real gratitude, because if I deserve it, if it's mine, if it's owed to me, then you didn't do anything for me. This is rightfully mine. If I understand that no, everything that Hashem gives me is a chesed, it's all kindness, it's all a gift from Hashem, and nothing is due to me, so then everything I get, I appreciate, and I show gratitude for. We understand, we learned about earlier in Michal Miliyahu, how really the foundation of happiness is appreciation, is understanding that not everything is due to you, and to appreciate everything in life. And if you think that everything you have is due to you, it's something that's expected, then you don't have much appreciation for it. But as long as you recognize that no, things that I have are all gifts from Hashem. Hashem doesn't have to give me anything, and everything He gives me is an extra gift. So my desire is to somehow repay Hashem. Kol takmuli Eloi, how do I repay Hashem? And the answer is, it's that gratitude. It's to be able to recognize Hashem as the source of it all. Somebody who's kafui tov, someone who's an ingrate, so they're not happy people, because someone who's ingrateful is saying that I deserve everything. If you give it to me, then that's what I'm supposed to have. If you don't, then I'm upset, because I'm supposed to have it, and why aren't you helping me out? So then they get annoyed, they get aggravated, they get upset, because they don't appreciate that everything coming from outside of them is actually a gift to them. They think they deserve it all. Somebody who has a sense of appreciation is able to say that I deserve nothing. Every time someone helps me, it's an extra special gift, and I really appreciate it, and that brings the happiness in life. So that's the when it comes to being Jews, we really focus a lot on gratitude. We're Yehudim, we're Jews. We're people who give gratitude, because it's about recognizing that everything I have comes from a gift from Hashem. I can't expect anything, and whatever comes to me, that's really Hashem going above and beyond the call of duty, as it were, and I have my gratitude to show Hashem for that. And that brings me to appreciate all the gifts in life. I think it does speak very much to a lesson we can learn right now during the situation the world's in. Everything in life until this point, for many of us, you know, things just go very smoothly, the world functions as expected, and you take it for granted. And then suddenly everything around us sort of comes to a halt and collapses, and life as we know it is not the same. And we think, well, you get upset, you get aggravated. I want my life to go on as usual. No, why is it not going on like I expect? But it's really the opposite. We have to say that no, everything as usual is a gift from Hashem. If Hashem chooses right now in a temporary way to halt those gifts, so that's His business. And when He gives them back to us, we learn how to appreciate them. I think this is going to teach us to appreciate what we would call regular everyday life. To appreciate nothing is regular and nothing is routine. Everything is a gift from Hashem. And in a matter of moments, everything that you're used to can just totally shift, as it has in the past 2 months, you know, in such a sudden way. Learning how to appreciate the gifts in life brings us to happiness, because now we're going to appreciate the simple things much more. Mirtzah Hashem soon, when things open up again, life goes back to the way we're used to, we're going to appreciate them much more than we had 2 months ago. I promise. Just a simple sitting down and talking with a friend face to face, being able to go and dance at a wedding, being able to go to shul, and all these things which, you know, we take for granted, we're going to appreciate them so much more once this all passes. And we'll realize that every single one of them is a gift, and we develop that sense of hodah. But it comes from the source of my taker and my giver. If I'm a taker, everything is, I expect everything, so then gratitude is not genuine. If I'm a giver and I expect nothing of others, then everything I receive becomes a tremendous gift. I recognize that and I show gratitude. He concludes the chapter, Kolo Shel Davar. The principle to pull out of this is the following. Hakaras Tova, he told us, Koch HaNasina. Gratitude is an outgrowth of being a giver. Ukfias Tova, he told us, Koch HaNatila. And being someone who's ingrate, being ungrateful, that is an outgrowth of being a taker. And that's his bottom line he gives here. It's a very important point to think about, and we see it in our own lives. Those situations in life where we feel that the person has gone above and beyond, we feel this deep sense, I have to do something for them, I have to show them my gratitude, and those things in life that we expect, we have very little gratitude for. It's just a matter of shifting what's expected and what's unexpected. And you can really apply that in life and recognize nothing should be expected. You know, and everything is a gift, and then you become a grateful person. You become someone who shows your appreciation to everything and to all, and it makes a person happier because you appreciate it. Again, I think one place in Jewish life where this is very pronounced is brachos. If we think that just every morsel of food I have is just due to me and expected, I don't appreciate it. But if I pick up an apple, you thank Hashem, thank you Hashem for giving me this delicious piece of fruit. You know, I can't expect that it's going to be on my plate, and now that it is, I'm so happy to have it. So you're going to appreciate the apple so much more, and you're going to be happier in eating that apple, because you appreciate it as a gift from Hashem, not as an expected fruit on your plate. So I think that's just one area where you can apply this, you know, very practically. But it applies everywhere in life, in relationships, not just with Hashem, but with people. We see it all the time. So let's look at the next chapter. This is the 12th chapter. It's called Olam HaMasukin, the perfect world. So the question he's going to pose is the following. We've discussed how the world is full of takers and givers. And those are really two core midos in a person. The question is that if Hashem wants us all to be givers, then why are we created in a way we have to take? I mean, everyone has to take. There's nobody in the world that can live on their own. We are built as creatures of society. And number one, when you're born, you're taking from your parents. Babies are helpless. Children need help. As you get older, even if you're independent, you need other people. There's nobody that stands alone in this world. So if Hashem wants us to be only givers and not takers, why did he create us in a way that we need to become takers? And how does that fit into this whole concept that being a giver is the center of good? So let's read it inside the text. Shaluni, they asked me the question. If Hashem truthfully desires that we shouldn't be takers, we should be happy and content with all we do on our own and not need others to give to us. Why are we all created in the same world? And we have to live in society where we all have to depend upon each other. Wouldn't it be better if everybody was kind of on their own? Then there wouldn't be jealousy, wouldn't be competition. Everyone can just be happy with their lot, not need others, not need to take in anything more, and everything would be at peace. So that's the question. I mean, in other words, if we're meant to be only givers, not takers, by definition, the world's going to have takers and givers. And in life, we have to take and we have to give. So what's the design here? What's Hashem trying to teach us? So I have two answers to this. Rishona, ilo nivra adam chevrati. If a person was not created to be a creature of society, to be part of a community, so there wouldn't be any choice to make between giving and taking. There'd be no way to be a taker. Meaning Hashem wants us to make choices. We know another foundation of Judaism is that we have bechira, we have free choice, and we're given in front of us two possibilities to choose from good versus evil. And Hashem wants us not just to be givers, but to choose to be givers. We have to become givers. The desire of Hashem is that we should distinguish between good and evil and choose good. So we're given the potential to be both either givers or takers. And we are supposed to then choose to be givers and distance this drive to be a taker. So number one, and this is the answer to many questions in Torah, if Hashem desires X, why does he give us Y as a challenge to counteract that? And the answer is very simple, because Hashem wants us to choose X and to become X. He doesn't want us to just have, we're not robots or people. Hashem wants us to struggle and become good, become givers, do the right thing. He doesn't just program us to do the right thing. He wants us to choose to do the right thing. And I would say, in other words, it's not about giving, it's about being a giver. There are people out there who give, but they're not givers. We try to develop in ourselves a sense of becoming givers, that we're driven to help others. Not that we just do nice things, but we are nice people. Like the Rambam says very famously, it's better to give, all things equal, better to give $1 to stuck 100 times than $100 one time. Why? Because $100 one time you did an act of giving. $1 100 times trains you to be a giver. So then the more you're involved in giving, the more you become a giver, which is the goal. So if we only had ourselves and there was no one to take from, there'd be no way for us to train ourselves to become givers. We would just be what we are. But being that we're in a society where there's people out there that need to give and people that need to receive, we could train ourselves to become givers and not be takers. And then he explains, and this is how a person really thrives in this world and the next world through making the right choices. This is what the Torah says. I gave before you life and death. Choose life. So this is one general principle of just free choice and Hashem's desire for the human being to choose, not just to be, but to choose and make the right choices. That's number one. But he says now a more focused answer. V'sheinis, the second answer to the question, ki'ilu lo haya b'nei adam chavratiyim, lo yitzrichim zeh wazeh, halo haya se'efsharos gam kol chanasina. If we were created on our own, and we do not need others, then we don't have the chance to give. Ki'ilu mi yitzen adam im lo yeh mi shikal menu. If there's no one to receive, I can't be a giver. Meaning, Hashem doesn't want us to be takers, but I need people around me to give too. And if there's nobody who can receive from me, I can't give. So it's not going to work to say everyone should be created as independent, no one should anybody else. The answer is yeah. So we wouldn't take. We also couldn't give. And if we want to become givers, it has to be recipients of our kindness. So then the question comes back again on the next page. Those who have the copy, it's page 48. So there's another question someone asked me. If the truth is, it's a fact. I mean, it's a logical reality. You can't have a giver without a taker. Then giving is not good because I'm making the person a taker. I mean, let's say there's somebody who needs my help. So I go and I'm a big giver and I help them. But that person has to receive the help. So I've just now caused someone else to take. And if being a taker is such a bad thing, then how's it going to work out? It's going to be 50-50. Every time there's a giver, there's a taker. So Hashem set up the world that it's going to be 50-50 all the time, that you only have half givers, half takers. Like, how does the world function? If everyone's supposed to be a giver, it's impossible, because if everyone's a giver, there's no takers. If everyone's a taker, there's no givers. So how does that work? So the world can't be perfect then. Everyone's a giver, then who's going to be the taker? So how does this work? I mean, if the concept is everyone should work on only being a giver and not a taker, how's that going to play out in real life? How's that going to create a world that actually, you can't make a world that everyone's supposed to do something and it can't happen. If everyone can become a perfect person and be a giver, then they can't be givers because no one's going to take from them. So you can't be a giver anymore. So how does this all work out? So he says a very important point. These are very good questions. But if you think deeply, the answer is very clear. And this is it. So listen to the words carefully. You can be a receiver or you can be a taker. They're two very different things. Also, you could be a giver or it could be someone who others take from. So I can be doing the same action. I can be handing money to somebody poor. But am I a giver or am I just allowing someone to take from me? I can receive something from someone. Someone give me a gift. Am I a recipient or am I a taker? And those are worlds apart. We can't confuse our words. I mean, it's always important to define your terms. So we're saying everyone should be givers, not that you should never receive anything. We already discussed at length before that sometimes receiving is giving. We'll take two examples, one halacha and one just we've experienced in regular life. I've said these before and we'll just repeat them again. In terms of kiddushin, the way that someone makes a marriage in halacha is the man is supposed to give something of value to the woman. And that's what makes kiddushin. So the custom is to use a ring. That's the minhag, is the man gives a ring to a woman and that makes kiddushin, that makes a marriage. But the Gemara has a case where the woman can give to the man, and it also works. What's that case? If the man is somebody who's a very prestigious, very famous, very chashuv person. So the fact that he accepted the gift from this woman makes her feel so good. You accepted my gift. So his receiving is actually giving. because he doesn't need it. He already has everything he needs. He's very wealthy, he's very famous, he's very comfortable. But some woman came to him and she said, I'm giving you this gift for kiddushin, for marriage. And when he accepts it, she receives, because she feels so good that this man accepted the gift. So that's it. He's receiving, but he's giving. Often in life, we know somebody wants to help us out. We don't need the help. No, we're just fine. But the person is just, I really want to do this for you. So you say, okay, and you smile and you accept it. Now, you didn't need it, you didn't want it, but you know this person is going to feel so good when he or she reaches out to me and gives me this, or does this for me. So am I a giver or am I a taker? I'm taking something, it's going into possession, but that's giving, because the person who gave it to me feels so good that they gave it to me. Sometimes somebody needs that for their own self-confidence. Sometimes it can be therapeutic. You know, I don't need the help, but someone's helping me. Sometimes it's educational. You know, a child wants to help you. You know, the child's help is not much help. You know, it's going to be much harder work for you to let this child help than to not let them help. But allowing the child to help is going to train the child to do this job or create a bond with the child. So you're receiving the child's help, but you're actually giving to the child. So you find this in life very often. You can be a recipient, but you're not a taker. And they're two different terms. Or you can be a giver, or you can be someone who others receive from. Meaning, we had a case before. I can give you gratitude because I really, really sincerely feel indebted to you. Or I can give you gratitude so that I can butter you up for the future. So you feel so pleased with me, you'll do more for me in the future. So my gratitude could be an act of giving, or it could be that you take it, that you received it from me, but I didn't give you anything. It's all for my own selfish purposes. So you have to define your terms. And the world could be all givers and recipients, not takers, but recipients, because people out there will have to receive from me. And there's things in life, let's say, you know, you need medical help. Are you a taker because you need medical help? No, you're not a taker, but you receive it because you're not able to perform your own medical procedure. Someone has to do it for you. But it doesn't mean you're a selfish taker. It just means that you have to receive something, because in life, often we have to receive even though we're not takers. So he explains, there's people in life that take and others take from him. So this person is a taker, because when he takes, he's doing it for his own selfish purposes, and gives nothing in return. And others take from him, it's because he can't prevent it. Meaning life requires me at times to give to others, so I do. Not because I like giving, but because that's just part of life. You know, I'd rather go in the store and take everything for myself, put it in my pockets. But, you know, I don't want to go to jail. So I'll pay the storekeeper for the product. I have to give to them. Okay, that's just that's reality of life. But it's not because I'm so happy to help someone else out. It's because I want to, because I need to, because I have to. There's no way out of this giving. So it's not really giving, that's all taking. We mentioned before the example of the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim had a store. Let's review the example for a second, because it's such a good example. He owned a store. That was his parnassa. But his store did so well, because who wouldn't shop at the Chafetz Chaim store? I mean, he was somebody scrupulously honest, his prices were rock bottom, and he was the Chafetz Chaim. So his store did tremendous business. He felt terrible about it, because all the other stores in town were losing business because of him. So he limited his hours. And then still, the customers kept crowding in the store during those hours, and the other stores were not doing very good business. So he closed down his store. Because he said that I don't want to put out. It's not about me making lots of money. Everyone should be able to get a piece of the pie, as it were. And if my store is putting others out of business, I can't have it running. So his store, it was a store not of taking. Yes, he was making money off of it. It was a store of giving. He's helping customers. He was hoping that the other stores in town would do just fine as well. When he saw that his store was actually causing other stores to lose business, he decided, I got to shut down. I can't do this anymore. But it's an example of somebody who's in the role of receiving, but is actually giving. And he continues, you could be somebody who gives and receives, but you're fully a giver. Because your giving is coming from the good place in your heart, that you want to be a giver and you want to help others. And whenever you receive something, your heart fills up with the drive to show gratitude. So you're going to have to receive, but you're not a taker, you're a recipient. And when you receive, the immediate response within yourself is you're uncomfortable. You want to do it for the other. You want to show gratitude and help the other person out because you don't want to be a taker, you want to be a giver. Be a dover. Kishneim bal koch nesina kamokin bal koch anatila. So both these people we described, the giver and the taker, they're doing the same things in life. You know, they're paying in stores for their items, they're giving others services, they're receiving others help. In terms of the actions, it could be all the same. But it's the attitude. The attitude is very different. If you're a giver, you're not happy to receive without payment. And at least you'll pay back with gratitude. And the taker doesn't want to take. And the taker doesn't want to pay anything. He'd rather get everything for free. But he just knows that no one's going to give to him without him paying, so he pays anyways. So the actions are the same. It's all in the attitude. So let me skip to the next paragraph. So we want to talk about the world in a perfect state or imperfect state. So Hashem wants everyone to be givers. So what would be, or Hashem does not want you to be takers. So a world in an imperfect state where everyone's taking, you have lots of takers out there. Everyone is taking and snatching from each other. So society can't exist that way. It's competition, it's jealousy, it's grabbing each other's throats, trying to take as much as you can. It brings to wars, it brings to murder, it brings to theft, it brings to bad things. If everyone in society is just about me, mine, what can I have, then the whole world is in a destructive state. But next paragraph, he says, but the perfect world will be everyone's trying to give to each other, and everyone is grateful for what they have, and when you do for me, I show my gratitude. So people in this state will be at peace, there'll be love, there'll be tranquility, because everyone's there to help each other. Again, it could be the same exact stores, the same exact society, same exact government, everything is working the same, but it's all in the attitude. Am I grateful for what I have? Am I happy and content, or am I trying to take? You skip to the bottom of the page here. He quotes here from a Medrash, which gives a very nice example of this. The Medrash tells a story of Alexander the Great, who was a topic often in Midrashim, because he lived around the time where the Midrashim, where Chazal were living, and there's a story of Alexander the Great in the Medrash. It says, Alexander the Great, halach al melech Katzia. He went and he met the king of a place called Katzia. I'm not sure what that is in English. It was a country called Katzia. So Alexander the Great met the king of Katzia. Lachori hare choshech v'yavakesh das ichdanu sham esdineyem. And he wanted to learn how the king of Katzia judges his subjects. Tell me, you're the king, you're a wise king. Tell me, how do you rule, how do you judge your subjects? V'yayom. So it happened one day, the two men came before the king of Katzia for judgment. So somebody had purchased from the other a piece of land. And then later on he found the treasure buried in this land. So in other words, you know, Reuven purchased a plot of land from Shimon, and Reuven one day was digging on the field and he found buried treasure. So what was the fight in this court case? Hutan. So the buyer of the land claimed shemadaito hayarak liknos zekarka. He says, all I want to buy was land. I never intended to buy treasure. Avalos amatmon vamocher lekachas amatmon. So I want you to take your treasure back. I didn't pay for the treasure. It's yours. Take it back. Vamocher, and the seller tan shemachar zekarka. The seller says, no, I sold you land and everything on the land. And the treasure is on the land. I want you to keep the treasure. So it's the exact opposite of how we would view the court case. No, the buyer said, I want to give back the treasure. And the seller said, no, keep it. It's not mine. I sold it to you fair and square. So what did the king do? So the king of Katzia turned towards these two gentlemen arguing over the field. So he said, do you have any children? So he proposed the following. Why don't you have your son marry his daughter? So then your families will get married, they will come mechatanim, and you can share the treasure. So that's how he ruled in the case. I encourage that you should have your children marry, and therefore you can split the treasure. So Alexander the Great was watching this. He was there to learn about how this empire functioned. and he was astonished. Vishaloso malo tov danti. So the king said, did I do something wrong? Why are you so surprised? So the king of Katsi said to Alexander the Great, what would you have done in this case? If this happened in your country, what would you have done? So Alexander said, I would have killed them both and taken their money. That's what I would have done. So the king of Katsi said, does the sun shine on your empire? Alexander said, yeah. So he said, do you have animals in your empire? Alexander said, yeah, we do. So the king of Katsi said to Alexander, well, if the sun's shining in your empire, and you have reigned your empire, it's not in your merit, it's in your animal's merit, because you don't deserve it, right? As it says in the Pasuk, he quotes from Tehillim, Adam Vemo Toshi Hashem, Hashem will save the human being and the animal. I mean, there's times where the human is saved in the schus, in the merit of the animal. So he tells Alexander, if that's how your empire functions, then you have no merits, it must be your animals have merits, something like that. So this Medrash is painting this picture for us. Picture the world like the king of Katsia was describing. Everybody was there to look out for each other. So we want to give to one another. We want to do the right thing. And the good king figures out how we can share and we can all give to each other. The world like Alexander's world, as the Medrash describes, is the way we call the dog-eat-dog world. Everyone's at each other's throats. And we're all trying to take from each other. And until the king comes in, just says, I'll take it all. So that this is the picture of the Medrash, but it's really bringing out the point we've been making the entire time. And it shows the great distance between a world of givers and a world of takers. When two givers come in front of you, and each one wants to take from the other, and they bring, excuse me, each one does not take from the other, each one wants to not take from the other one, because they're both givers, and they bring their judgment before the king, and the king says, why don't you join together? Why don't you become partners? Because that's what givers do. That will create a beautiful, complete world because everyone's there looking out for each other. And if the king of the givers, I mean, this Melech of Katsia was the king of the givers, as it were, had any other way to rule, he would say that these givers are righteous, and the world can be built upon these people, etc. But the king of the takers, he's going to say, then no, I want it all for myself. You want it for yourself, he wants it for himself, and then that creates a destructive world. So this is in conclusion, the last paragraph. And Sinu made them close to the verse. So we have the following rule. Takers do bad for one another. When you are takers, you're out to take for yourself, and therefore it is damaging to others. Because you make everybody become a taker. If you're a taker, then people have to take back from you. And everyone's struggling to take. It's always a tug of war. I want more, you want more, and we're all becoming takers. Also, and if I'm a taker, others will come and demand of me to give back what they deserve, and we all start fighting. But if we're givers, we complete each other, we develop a peace, a partnership. Because the giver allows the other to become a giver as well, because the other one who receives from the giver recognizes the giver as a giver, shows gratitude, wants to give back, and it creates a bond. So being takers or givers, it's not just about, am I selfish, do I do chesed, but it creates a bond amongst people, or it creates jealousy and destruction. If it's working between two individuals, it's just a matter of a personal relationship. If it's working on a national scale or on a global scale, that's what creates wars, that's what creates unrest, that's what creates, you know, competition. If everyone became givers, so then everybody would look out for each other. Now, often we discuss, you know, what would it be like when Mashiach comes? And there's a lot of discussion in sources as to what's supposed to happen. But I think in the broader picture, if the whole world's united for one cause, no, the Rambam says there's no need for miracles if Mashiach comes. The world's going to continue on as we know it. It's going to be a world that we're used to. Just everyone's united around one cause. Everyone's united around Hashem, the Jewish people. The world will recognize that there's one God that gave a Torah to the Jews. So if the whole world's united around one cause, and we're all giving to each other, what a beautiful world it's going to be. Nothing to do with any sort of miraculous happenings. Just because if everyone in the world were to drop their own personal selfish needs and say, let's live together with one cause in mind, it would make for a world of peace, of tranquility, of partnership, as we're describing. But the world as of now is that every person, or at least nation, or movement, or religion, etc., everyone has their own cause, their own goal, their own drive to take for themselves, for their own personal goals. So that's what creates all the unrest in the world. That's what creates that we can't get along. That's what creates wars. That's what creates murder and theft and the like. And that's what creates all the different tension that we find in life. So so Rav Dessler, he's taking his point and he's really developing it. But it gives us such a beautiful vision of what could be. The more we become givers, how the world can come to be such a beautiful place, and how central that trait of giving really is to relationships and to life. Any questions out there? We'll be back in touch next week.
Thank you so much. That was wonderful. Thank you so much, Rabbi Shear.
All right, thank you.
Take good care. Have a good night.
Okay, you too. Be well. Stay healthy.
Thanks, you too.
Thank you, Giver.
We try.